Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. Ah! I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted. And he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's really nice.
We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
¡Super mamás!
Hola, Super Mamas. This is Paulina. And this week on the show, we have a very special friend of mine. I have known Kimlan Dovan ever since I pretty much became a mom over 5 years ago. She was the facilitator at the Mommy and Me class that I first attended with Krista. So I have learned so much from her. She is such a sweetheart. And this week, we are going to talk about sleeping habits. Are you having trouble putting your baby to sleep? Is anybody sleeping in the house? You're not? Don't worry, we got you. She's gonna give us a lot of really helpful tips, information, and so take note, ladies. Also, at the beginning of the show, since my sister's still out on her work trip / vacation, I brought in a really good friend of mine to help me record. So enjoy the show, ladies. Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Hi. Again, we have a different voice this week.
Hello, everyone.
You have such a sexy voice.
Thank you. I've been practicing.
And I have you right here in my ears with the earphone. So it's like, damn. Are you like a sex operator at night?
No, but maybe I should be. I could use the extra income.
Hey, guys. It's Paulina again. And today, Betsy is here with me to record a little intro of the episode. Bricia is still in Oaxaca, living the life. Lucky
nice.
Her. Lucky We've her.
Been following her adventures on Instagram.
Yes. Follow Bricia's adventures on Insta Story and Instagram. She's taking some really cool pictures and some behind the scenes on her project. So yeah, I invited Betsy today and I was like, I don't want to be alone in the mic this week. So what's up, Betsy? What's going on?
You know, we were talking before and we were talking about baby sleep issues.
Yes.
We just transitioned my 3.5-year-old, almost 4-year-old, which I can't believe, to his own bed in his own room. He had been in the room with us in his own bed, but still in our room. So we've been kind of adjusting to that.
He was in the middle of you and Josh.
You know, recently he was, which I think is why we were like, okay, it's time for us to reclaim our space.
Yeah. Definitely. That's important. That's important to reclaim your space.
Yeah. So the first time we put him in his bed, we came back into our room and we were like, oh my God, we can turn on the light. We can put on music. What?
Let's watch a movie. Oh my God. It feels like, yeah, I remember when I did that with Krista, because, you know, Krista's the one that's been in our bed or room for the longest. She was there for like, I'm going to say, well, not that long, actually. She was there for like 1.5 years or 2, but it seems like it was forever. But it was such a difference, like going back and just being like, oh, wait, I can actually talk in my room, in my own room.
Yeah.
Which just makes a huge difference. How is that going?
It's going well. We've actually implemented something that Ariana, a former guest, gave me, which was a reward chart. So it's this little reward. And every time he stays in his bed every night, all night, he gets a little start.
Nice.
And at first we were like, oh, is this actually going to work? But he actually seems to be really excited. So in the morning we get up and he'll put his little star. The problem is that even if he didn't stay in the bed, he still wants the star. Now he just wants stars for everything. And I'm like, you're not going to get a reward for everything. That's not real life. But, you know, so we've been trying new things.
I honestly have been really bad during the summer with the sleeping routines.
And not bad because I'm like, stay up until 1 a.m. But I just don't have a routine. But what I've been doing, it's since we have a backyard now, it's so much easier for me to just open the door and let them run around. And I do that a lot. And I found because it's so hot and, you know, they're running and water and all of that, it's been easier for them to go to sleep right now. Not necessarily like at a certain time, but they just get tired on their own and they go to bed. But what I'm afraid of is like, what's going to happen when we go back to school, right? Like now going back to like the formal routine again, it's kind of scary and it's so close to the new baby coming.
Yeah.
That I'm like, changes. That's why I was like, we need help. I need help. And I'm going to try to implement it soon, but maybe it's going to be later than sooner because I mean, they're just having so much fun right now. Like, I feel like this is the first time in a long time that I felt the difference between, like winter, spring, summer. Like before it was just like the corredito, you know, like whatever, nothing changed. Everything was the same. But this is the first time that it actually changes. Like, they wake up earlier, they have camp, they come back, they want to play, they want to have, like, they want to be outside. And I like that. And it's the first time that I actually feel like, oh, my God, this is summer. Like, it's summer. Whereas before, where they had school all year, you really can't tell the difference. But now I do. And this time, I'm really trying for them to have fun. But at the same time, I know it's going to be, like, rough when we go back.
Yeah, and then a few weeks ago, one of the super mamas shared, I think it was either in the Facebook group, she shared an article that said you get 18 summers or something like that.
Yes.
And that really made me reflect on like taking advantage of this time, especially here in California, that we have a very like glorious summer season and we have beaches and we have water parks and we have outdoor spaces. Like, I think I can totally understand why you would want to like throw it up. It's also, it's not nighttime.
It's not. Okay. So even if I tell them, let's go to bed, they're like, but it's, look outside. It's clear. No. And I'm like, what can I tell them? Like, no, it's not. And it's 8 p.m. and it's still clear. It starts like getting really dark closer to 9. Which is crazy. I mean, it's beautiful. I love it. I'm taking advantage too. And like, you feel happier. I don't know. I really like it. Brice is always like, I don't know. I don't get you in summer.
Summer is my thing too. I've always loved summer.
I love summer.
I think I'm still carrying over the thing from when I was a child and yeah. I had summers off or when I was in college and summer, like, you know, me and my friends would hit the beach and we'd stay out really late and we didn't have class. So I think I still get really excited over summer, even though I don't have that stuff going on anymore.
I live vicariously through my kids now. They're like, oh my God. You know, like I was telling you that we right now in the new house, there's this little neighbor and she comes to the house every day, or my daughter goes to her house every day. So they're becoming like comadres.
You have to get the mom to listen to the show.
Maybe not. Maybe she won't let her come after she listens to the show. She already looks at me weird because I have purple hair and I wear tiny shorts with like a huge belly.
Look at this progressive mom over here.
For real. Like, she's like, what's wrong with this lady, right? But like, I feel like maybe later she'd be like, who is this person that my daughter is going to? But I feel like I know I'm already getting prepared because I know that it's going to be a little harder for me to get back into the whole routine for school. So that's why we decided to bring in an expert this time to talk about sleeping habits. Kim Lan, I've known Kim Lan, oh my God, since Sabina was like 3 months old. She was actually the facilitator for the Mommy and Me class since back then. And she's such a sweet person. Like, she has such a calmness about her. And I was like, this is the perfect person to come and lecture us on sleeping habits. So I was very excited to have her. And we asked her all these questions. And hopefully she gives us some tips that can work for you. Because I was like, I made it all about me, as always. Like, how can I fix my life? Fix my life, Kim Lan. So hopefully, you know, you get some tips for what you're going through. And I'm sure it'll be okay.
And then tell us what's worked for you.
For me?
No, I want the listeners can tell us what's worked for them.
Valida, not everything is about you. I was like, well, let me tell you what works about me. Yes, let us know what works with you guys. Share your tips also. Because I think it's always like very helpful to hear other people.
Because not, you know, every situation is unique. And sometimes there's tricks that you don't even know about, right?
Yeah. Or like we were talking before about how it changes. I had a really good baby who slept from like, he's a good baby either way. But he slept through the night at 3 months all the way till he turned three. And then when he turned three, it's like something's flipped. Yeah. So I'm excited to learn everything Kim Lan knows about sleep.
Yeah, I'm very excited, guys, and I hope you guys enjoy the show. And don't forget to also follow our girl, Betsy.
Betsy I Missy on Instagram.
Yeah, she has, like, so many surprises coming up. Woohoo! Subscribe to her newsletter. Or how do we subscribe to your newsletter?
You can go on my site, BetsyImed.com, and it's always linked on my Instagram, too.
And she has a new podcast coming up, so if you want to know more about it, log in and check her out, guys. Well, here is Kim Lan Dovan, our sleep expert for this week. And I hope you guys enjoy the show. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome, Kim Lan.
Hi. See, I got it right.
Hello. You did get it right, actually. You did get it right.
Thanks so much for being here.
You know what? I'm really happy to be with you guys.
Oh, I'm so excited because Kim Lan and I go way back. Ever since Krista was like 3 months old.
Share how you met.
Kim Lan was a lead in the Mommy and Me group that I joined with Krista when she was 3 months old.
She was a little peanut.
She was like...
She wouldn't leave your lap.
She wouldn't, right?
All over you. I remember we had many a conversation.
She would always be like really close to me and she wouldn't like to explore. And like the last minutes of class, then she would start going and playing.
But I was like, okay,
it's too late now. We have to go.
She did like the songs though.
She did like the
songs.
She did.
She was our musical child in there. She enjoyed the songs.
And she's still the same. She's still like hides behind me. No, she still hides behind me. She's always really close to me. And then eventually she'll leave, but like she's always very attached to me until now.
I feel like we start to see the emergence of temperament when they're babies.
Yeah.
But then when they're, you know, in school age children, then you see like, oh, the little bit of this I saw as a baby, this is what it looks like in an older child.
Oh my God, I'm scared. Sabina is crazy.
Oh, is she crazy?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Have I met her?
We met at a birthday party.
That's right.
But she was a tiny baby.
She was tiny.
No, now she's like...
No, she's a fabulous little woman.
She's a little bit of a diva? She is.
She's okay. A little woman. Like, she looks like a little señorita, like a little señora.
Oh!
She calls the princess. She wants her princess. She loves to do her makeup.
Does she post for pictures?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I say, picture, she poses. And Carissa is the total opposite, which I think is so crazy because I don't know. I think Carissa is definitely more like me.
Yep.
And Sabina is definitely more like my sister.
Oh, so we got some family stuff going on.
Even my husband, we just went on a vacation. And when she was walking in front of me and my husband was like, she's just like your sister. I'm like, I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
That's kind of sweet. Sisters and sisters.
Yeah. And it's crazy because Sabina does not even acknowledge me.
No. Which is exactly the same way you are.
And I'm like, I feel you. Cool. She just kind of like gives me a nod when she comes in like, what's up? And I'm like, what's up?
Well, you know.
And Chris is like, Tia Bricia.
Yeah.
Hugging.
It's so funny.
Anyway. FYI, just before we move on. I love how somebody commented on our Instagram. Like, I would say Sabina's like Brisa because it doesn't look like she has no heart.
Oh no!
I posted a picture
and I was like laughing so hard, and I was like, "Shout out to you, mom."
It was so I posted a picture good. And I was like,
"Inside joke from our last episode. Yeah. Check it out with Brisa Alonso."
Anyway,
wait. Let me go back. Brisa and I are exactly 3 years apart, and we were born 6 days apart.
Okay,
in October. Okay. My kids are exactly 3 years apart, 6 days apart, and they were also born in October, which I think is so crazy. The day before our birthdays.
October is a big month in your family.
Huge, huge.
Big month.
But we are here to talk about sleep.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
How do we get our kids to sleep? How do we transition from baby to toddler?
Yes.
What's up? What's going on?
Yes.
To a toddler and just...
I mean...
Drop knowledge.
I mean, I feel like... You know, when we approach any subject in life, no matter what, as an adult, it's like we get all this information, we look at it as an adult, and we're like, this is what we need to do, and then we execute it, and then we're successful, and we're like, high fives all around. But when you look at sleep coming from infancy and then through toddlerhood and even through the preschool mm-hmm. years, it's not the same thing you're talking about at each stage of the way. Mm-hmm. So when we become very accomplished with, you know, our infant at 2 months and we find their cues and we learn how to get them down, those same techniques don't work with a 6-month-old, don't work with a 10-month-old necessarily, because sleep is evolving. Mm-hmm. So, and as a parent, you kind of go like, wow, I had such a good baby when it came to sleep. And then now that they're a toddler, why aren't they sleeping? What did I do wrong? And you know what, mommies, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just that your baby grows up and we have to do new interventions and find new skills and find new techniques and teach them new techniques. So the first thing, you know, I like to think about when it comes to sleep, which, by the way, and Paulina will tell you, in our mommy and me class was the number one topic. Yeah. Like if we had to pick one, mommies were always talking about it, was, you know, let's be curious about what our child can do, what our infant can do. And let's be curious about how we can help them without over helping. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of like the, it's a trap, because if you figure out something that works for your child, you just want to do it over and over and over and over. But that doesn't leave room for growth.
And even between childs, like, and every child is different.
And even between children.
Yeah.
Like what one child needs might not be soothing to the next child. Yes. If you've got a very cuddly baby, then they might actually, you know, need a little bit more padding and a little bit more rubbing to get to sleep. And if you have a child who's like pushing away from you and turning away, trying to suck their thumb as they're going into their crib, that child will not need the padding. And but you're like, I did this for my first child. Yeah. Why right. isn't this working?
Right.
And so I think if we just take a step back and realize, number one shoe does not fit all. We gotta find the right pair for everyone. And then the second part is, once you get good at something, be prepared for it to change and be flexible on your end as a parent to go, okay, now we gotta try something else, and now mm-hmm. we gotta figure something else out. Because eventually we want them to soothe on their own, mm-hmm. no matter what the age is. So if I keep, you know, if I keep bouncing on this yoga ball every single night, I'll be bouncing my 18-month-old. So yeah. when do we need to stop and sort of, you know, look at how we can sort of pass the torch from mommy doing and daddy doing to baby doing and toddler doing and preschooler doing.
And trusting them.
Isn't that hard, though? I find mm-hmm. like to sort of give it up and be like, okay, well, I got to trust the process. When as an adult, it's like, well, when I get things done, I'm going to do it the whole way. But when we're in a relationship with a child, we have to a certain extent trust them, but also respect them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that, you know, taking a step back, you hear your child struggling to figure it out. We want to step in and save, because we want to nurture. But part of the struggle in learning how to do something is on your own too sometimes. So what can you do, and what's too much for you to do that I need to help? And finding that middle ground is really where we're going to find the best sleep.
And do you have a preferable approach, or one that you think, I mean, not like you said, not the same, it's like not all size fits all.
Right.
But do you have maybe one or two approaches that you prefer?
Oh,
when it comes to sleep?
Absolutely. I find, you know, I teach for the Right Mommy and Me, and Julie Wright, who is a dear friend and colleague of mine, she came up with this curriculum, and I liked it so much because it wasn't telling parents, you know, you must do this, and it wasn't sort of like overhelping or abandoning, but this middle ground of like, okay, I want to use a little bit of science, and I want to use a little bit of my family values, and I want to use a little bit of like my mommy instinct, and what does it look like? Mm-hmm. So the sleep topics that I teach now are all from the book The Happy Sleeper, mm-hmm. which is by my colleagues Julie and Heather, who are lovely, and they do workshops all over LA. But what we do in there is we start off with like offering some tools to help them fall asleep, like, you know, the swaddling and the white noise and the bedtime routines, which everyone has heard about. And so giving them some skills. And then we start in with like, okay, let's look at soothing. Right now I'm doing all the soothing for you. And if one day I'm hoping, you know, maybe sooner than later, that you self-soothe, what are the steps we take? So one of the techniques that I teach about in class is the soothing ladder. starting with the least amount of intervention for when your child is crying, all the way through where, you know, you're picking up and you're feeding. And the goal isn't to, you know, just not pick up and feed. The goal is to be curious to see if your child needs it.
Right.
And if I can soothe
your reading cues.
Child, exactly. If I can go in and just, you know, use my voice and say, shh, 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 baby, time to go to sleep. Shh, it's nighttime. And that works. That means that I don't have to immediately, like, go over to the crib, pick them up, you know, get out a bottle, get out a breast, and start feeding. If you try other things along the way, and that works. By the way, we're not trying them for, like, an hour. We're just going to try them, and then if it works, oh, we did this for about 30 seconds. It doesn't work. Go to the next step and go to the next step. But that allows us to see where the child is at and what they can do. And it was kind of neat because – I was teaching Mommy and Me classes before I was a mommy. So when I became a mommy, I just used all this stuff right away. And I was like, okay, let's be curious from the beginning. And it really helped me develop a good sort of relationship with my daughter around right. sleep. Mm-hmm.
And how old are kids ideally at this stage where you're talking about self-soothing? And
so for each child, it's going to be different. But you can start seeing some self-soothing. Like right around 4 months, do you guys remember babies having like this cognitive mm-hmm. surge where all of a sudden – I can see the world around me mm-hmm. and I'm interested in my hands. And, you know, it was harder to go, like I'd be feeding and then someone would walk by and I'd get distracted. So we really want to sort of set this sort of, you know, right around 3 months, start working in this sort of, let's be curious. So when that surge hits, we can go back and be like, okay, well, what were they capable of? What could they do? And then really, you know, 5 and 6 months is when most of the moms are telling me that's when babies can go, you know, on their own at night, and they're not needing the soothing in the same way that they did when they were like, you know, 2 and 3 months old. Wow. And like, you know, some of them are going to go later than that, and yeah. that's okay
like
too.
3 years old.
Like a 3 year old. Now, tell me.
Or earlier.
With a 3 year old, does this real, like, get up out of bed and come find
yeah,
you?
She and comes find me.
And is it around the same time every night?
Every night is the same time.
Okay, so walk me through it. What's happening?
Well, the truth is that both of my kids wake up in my bed, you know, at different times. Like, Krista gets to my bed like at 6 a.m. because okay. now she sleeps through the night like an adult. And we turn on the lights and make noise and she doesn't even.
And she's still sleeping. She's still sleeping. So she's like a teenager.
She's like a teenager. But Sabina, every night, like around 2 a.m,
yeah.
she knows. She just opens, like, mommy, mommy. And then she comes in the bed and she just gets next to me and she falls asleep right away. Like, I don't even have to acknowledge her. Like, oh, okay. she just knows, like, she just goes, sleeps. She puts herself, like, right next to me mm-hmm. and then she falls asleep. And then she actually can go until, if I'm right there, she'll actually go to sleep until like 10 a.m. Like, she'll just go.
Okay.
But, every night is the same thing with her. Like at 1 or 2, she comes to the bed every single night.
So, and what time does she go to sleep at night?
She goes to sleep like around 8:30.
At 8:30. Okay, mm-hmm. so from 8:30 to 1:30, 2 o'clock, she's sleeping on her own. Mm-hmm. She's doing, and then something happens is she's gotten her big long stretch of sleep, and it sounds like it's getting harder for her to put herself back to sleep on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, well, I know the one thing
yeah.
that will help me get back to sleep. And so she's getting her needs met by going like, okay, now that I've had my big long stretch and now I'm having a harder time going to sleep, I'll find my mom. That intervention's working for her. I don't know that intervention's going to be working in a few months from
yeah,
now.
That is true. And that was one of the questions, because I would say that I would be like, okay, Sabina, let's go back to bed, right?
Oh, okay.
Let's go back to bed. Oh. Let me take you to bed. But at this point, it's getting harder for me to move. It's getting harder for me sure. to just find a comfortable spot for me to go to sleep that I'm like, you know what? Just let's all go to sleep. And, you know, and it has worked. But I am thinking, like, I only have 13 more weeks for this.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it's going to, you know, I don't think she's going to be able to come to my room. And this was when, like, the conversation starts between me and my husband, that I feel like he should be the one taking her back.
Oh, this
because,
is interesting.
Because I won't be able to. Mm-hmm. Even if I do it now and she gets used to it, once right. we have the baby, I won't be able to do that. And I think that's when he comes into play
right.
to say, this is your turn in the middle of the night to go and just soothe her and just replace me, you know, in that
and equation. What does he think about that?
I mean, he doesn't mind, you know, okay. He's like, okay, just tell me what to do.
Right.
Basically. So tell him, what should I tell him?
I love it. I love it when guys say, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Like they just need to read the directions and they're like, okay, I could do this. I mean, I think you're onto something with, you know, starting something now, because if you wait too long, mm-hmm. what'll happen is, you know, the wrong time to start an intervention is in the middle of having a newborn baby.
Oh my God, no. Yeah.
So, you know, if Sabina comes and wakes up, like if there's a way to get her before she even makes it to your bed, that's probably a better way for him to enter. Like once she's up, like you might hear her like, oh, she's coming. Like, honey, time to go get her before she even gets in the bed with you, because it's almost like the pattern of her, I assume she's been doing this for weeks now. To undo a pattern, just like for any person, it takes some time. And so if she's like, but wait, this is the way I want to do it, right? And I'm already here. We've been doing it. So if he starts the intervention earlier before she gets up, that might, you know, it's still going to be not happy time for her mm-hmm. the first couple times.
And there are some times where she just sleeps right through the night and she doesn't even come to, it's not like, oh my God, after a whole day of swimming, she slept the whole night. It's just randomly. I've tried to find the pattern. But there's nights that she just sleeps through the night and they wake up happy holding hands and they're like, my life is perfect. And the other is where they're just like, it's just a mess.
Well, you also don't have like a strict sleeping routine.
During school, I was having a strict because, you know, I have to be on a certain time with Krista at school that I had to have it. But now that it's summer, I'm like, oh, it's summer, you know, let's have fun. And that's what one of the things that I actually wanted to touch, because I know a lot of the moms mm-hmm. do that. It's summer. Let's stay up a little longer. Mm-hmm. Or even for them, it's like, well, I don't want to go to sleep. It's still sun. Mm-hmm. The sun is out there.
Yeah, the sun is out. In Southern California, that's
the
thing.
The sun goes out at 9 p.m. here.
Yeah. So my kids are like, I don't want to go to sleep. You know, it's still day, mom.
Yeah.
You know,
and everyone else is still awake too.
So they're like, the sun's still out, mom. I don't want to go to sleep. And what do I tell them? You know, as much as I like to close the blinds and everything, they just, you know, we were reading a book about the time of when? The power of when?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, my girls are total bears. You know, like at this point, they're bears. They're just like, the sun's out, they want to be up. The sun's down, they go to sleep. But if the sun doesn't go down, they just don't want to. So, mm-hmm. And then me, I'm like, oh, it's summer. You know, it's like, oh, okay, let's.
Your attitude almost changes a little bit too.
Yeah. And I know a lot of moms that do that. So that was my question. You know, I know it's logical that it's going to affect everything, but mm-hmm. how do we deal with more in California with the sun and, you know, summer and all of that? What do we do?
Well, you said something that I think is actually the answer, because you were saying, you know, and, you know, I'm talking to my girls about it. And this is the key. If you have children, you know, who are verbal and you can have a developmentally appropriate conversation with, right? Like we're not going to have a whole analysis.
Yeah.
But we can say things like, I know the sun's still up. It's hard to go to sleep when the sun's up. Like this acknowledgement of like, I get, like, this is a little bit confusing to you. Or that as a toddler, you might feel this is unfair, or this is hard. And I want to say that to you, like, as your mom, like, I get it. And then part of it, you know, we need to go back and say, even though it's hard, it's still something we have to do. Mm-hmm. And we do, you know, set limits around, like, I know you really like, you know, to have more cookies, but we can't eat cookies or our tummies are not going to feel good, right? Or I know you really mm-hmm. like playing with your friend, but if we don't leave right now, we're going to be stuck in 2 hours of traffic. Like there's things that we set limits with all the time. And this is one of those things. And for summertime, I get it. Like during the school year, we do this to a certain extent on the weekends.
On the weekends. Because it's only like Friday
night. That's it. Friday night. I'm like, you know what? All bets are off. Let's, you know, let's hang out and play cards and like eat popcorn and things like that. But
I'm not there yet.
Not yet. No playing cards and eating popcorn yet.
No, we're gonna. Our sleeping routine has been pretty strict since the beginning.
Well, I was going to say, just because it's summertime, if you're having no problems, then do whatever you want during the summer. But if you're like, you know what, we're having some issues mm-hmm. and we got another baby on the way and we need to get, mm-hmm. you know, this sleeping down, then we have to sort of fold that information into like, okay, even though it's summertime, we still have to, you know, progress towards our goals in this way. And that means maybe being a little bit less lax until you get on track. Once you get on track with anything, you can have a hiccup here or there. Mm-hmm. You can be much more flexible.
That makes sense.
And then they'll come right back to it. It's like riding a bicycle. But if you never learn to ride the bike and it's like, oh, let's do this, and then it becomes harder to get to where you want to go
right.
as a family. Which, by the way, I do have moms who are like, yeah, my kid, you know, they come into the bed, you know, at 2 and 3 years old, and I don't mind it. And so we want to think about, like, again, there's no one right way to mm-hmm. do it. So if it works for your family, then I'm a big fan of, like, what keeps everyone sane in your family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if this is not going to be good for you, then don't do it. But if you're like, I feel like I'm going to be exhausted, you know, in 3 months, there's other things going on. If we can get this on track first, work at it for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think it's more than me, because I'm getting myself in the mindset of what's going to happen. I already know, like, I'm going to have to wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, all that stuff. It's more for her.
It's more
I don't
for her.
Think that she would be getting rest mm-hmm. if I'm, like, turning on the light, you know, the baby crying, you know, let me move around. Let's put the baby in the breast, change diapers.
It'll wake her up.
It'll wake her up, and she won't be having, you know, the rest that she needs. And I have noticed that, for example, if she doesn't get a full night's sleep, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. It's like a.
Well, that's every like child. 16.
And
that's
adult.
Like, it's like, but with a toddler,
oh
like
God.
You miss your nap, our life is over. Which yeah. I was sharing with you when yeah. the baby's sleeping in like in the car, we mm-hmm. just drive.
Yeah, you just drive.
And, you know, and again, when it comes to parenting, you know, I am that mom that like, if we get somewhere, like we're going to go eat mm-hmm. and the baby's sleeping, like I'll take takeout. And we'll yeah. eat in the car. Because to me and my husband, him getting rest and being in a good mood mm-hmm. is way more important
yeah.
than me having a meal in the restaurant with the baby. Right. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely understand that.
So it becomes priorities for people. Yeah. And it's like, what can you deal with and what can you cannot deal with? And also, you know, going back to what you were saying about like babies soothing themselves and sort of like the long-term benefit. You know, in life in general, I believe anything that's worth anything takes some discipline and takes some struggle.
Hard work.
Everything. And it's the same thing with children. Like, they are going to be bothered for a bit. Like, they're not going to be happy the first maybe 3-5 nights. Mm-hmm. But come the 7th night, they're going to be great. Or come the 3rd week, they're going to be great.
And if they did it on their own, it'll be long lasting, like
yeah.
you said.
Anything and it's even doing. For us, like as adults, right? Like, when we're adults, anything like working out, like I always say to people, getting a six pack.
Oh my God.
It's hard work.
Oh my God.
Like not just like if it was easy to have a six pack, everyone would have a six pack.
Yes.
But it's hard work. It's hard discipline.
Yeah.
But it looks hella nice. I mean, I want to look like J-Lo. But to look like J-Lo, girl, you're going to need to put some work in. And that's just, I think the same analogy transfers to anything in life.
Yeah. And particularly parenting.
Yes.
Man, if parenting was easy, do you think I would have a job?
Do you think they'd have, I'd have 10 kids.
Do you think there'd be all these blogs?
Yeah.
Do you think there'd be all these YouTube channels
yeah.
and segments on, you know, morning news shows about, no, if parenting was easy. But, you know, we feel like in this, you know, in this age of social media and the way we can connect to people so fast and look at our feeds on Instagram or our feeds on Facebook and you see everyone posting like, oh, and my baby did this and all of their accomplishments they've ever made. Sometimes it feels like, should it be easy? Like, should it be easier for me? And there's always like your one or two of your friends who do this. And I love my friends who do this where they post the other side of parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's just like, there was a tantrum that involved like food and it's everywhere on their channel. They're like, this is real parenting. And
it
so,
is.
And we forget the hard work. because we're inundated with people who are like, oh, you know, after I gave birth to my baby, and this is my, you know, body that I had, you know, before baby, and this is my child at, you know, 3 months sleeping through the night, and this is, you know,
my perfect bento boxes.
This is exactly.
I'm still waiting for that.
What?
From you.
Now I do 10, but I know I do 2 bento boxes a day. One for my husband, one for my kid.
Yeah.
So I make them matching and I send them off with their own bento box.
I like that. That's why I wanted to do the pictures. I like that. I like that though.
No, it works. It works for me. For me it was when we went going to the mommy and me. I remember there was like the 5 second approach or the 10 minute.
Oh yeah, the approach. It's the sleep wave. The sleep wave. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I tried to do it, and it just didn't work. Like I just couldn't. Right, my heart was like sinking, and then
because you have a heart.
No, but also. I think I you know, Kimlan, about like the problem that happened with Krista and social services and all of that. I reached out to her. Like I didn't know who to call, and I called Kimlan when that happened. And that really left a huge emotional mark in me. Mm-hmm. To hear my children cry, I just can't. Because it scares me. It triggers something.
No, you have a trauma related to that.
It triggers something really a big trauma in my life. Mm-hmm. So I can't. I just cannot let them. It's my husband and I just, we can't.
Yeah.
So I had to find other ways that work for me. And I had to find other ways to get my children to sleep. And, you know, the crying method I just can't. So eventually Krista went to sleep, and it was hard, but she went to sleep, and now she sleeps through the night. And so my husband's like, well, then Sabina's going to go to sleep. I mean, because she sleeps, right? She sleeps, but she just comes to my bed. And I think that's one of the things, that there's so many methods and so many things, but you just got to find the one thing that works for you, which is like my way is completely different than my sister. Like, you know.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it.
That's why the podcast works too.
It sounds like it.
Her baby was going to sleep on his own at 3 months. It just really depends on what your lifestyle is, you know, what works in your family. Like if you've gone through something like I did, you know, letting your child cry just doesn't work, you know, or I'm always afraid that people are, when they're crying, that people are like looking at me and like, what are you doing? Are you beating up your child? You know, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not.
No, it definitely leaves something with you when something like that happens. And, you know, with motherhood, it could be anything like that. Mm-hmm, like, you know, if you had a baby who was smaller, underweight, and weight gain was an issue, even when they're like 5 and 6 years old, you're still worried about their eating.
Right.
Because it leaves something with you, whether you need to be worried or not. You know, moms who tell me their kids have been hospitalized, like any little cold or any little cough gets them a little bit more anxious. Yeah. And so I think when we listen to that part of us and we sort of make a note about it, and it's not going to be the same between, like, we're 3 moms in here and it's not going to be the same in our home, but we have to be honest about it too and go like, this is me, this is what makes this work, this is my child, this is what makes it work for her. Do we all have daughters?
No, I have a son.
You have a son? Okay. So even between, like, I was kind of hoping you were having a son too. But every child is going to be different.
Yeah.
And you want to look at it in that way. And so your relationship changes and your parenting cues change too. Because what you can do for your daughter maybe is not something you can do with your son. Right. And what you do with Krista is not always what something you can do with Sabina. Right. And so I think that's the important part, that, you know, when I said be curious.
Yeah.
Instead of like, this is the one way to do it. Like,
and also
curious.
I think that, I mean, we all go through the same, like, you know, my sister went through her own issues with sleeping. I went through myself. Mm-hmm. There's like teething. We have a friend that her baby's teething.
Teething.
And they have temperature in the middle of the night, have fever, they have all these things. So also another thing to tell moms is like, not all problems are permanent also. Because I think, you know, I think
this,
like,
too shall pass.
This is just one thing on the way, and the kids event. I mean, now we all sleep through the night.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's like going, I think one parent at our school was saying this, you know, with potty training. And it's like, have you ever seen a 10-year-old like wearing diapers?
Yeah.
They learn eventually.
They do learn.
like, don't worry. Like, don't get too like, oh my God, what's happening?
Over anxious.
Over anxious. Like, look at us. We go to the bathroom when we sleep.
That's the best. Well, and then people are always worried
about,
like...
We wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I know.
We go back to bed.
And then we go back to bed. Like, the best one.
I'm done with wearing overnight diapers right now. I'd be down.
Don't worry about it. No one will say anything. No, but, like, in our groups, like, we cruise into, like, when babies are about to turn a year old, and the number one thing is, like, oh, my gosh, like, why aren't they walking? Why aren't they walking?
Yeah. Yeah.
That same friend would probably say, like, do you see any, like... Are you still crawling? Is it efficient to crawl to the kitchen to get a... It's not efficient.
And every child is so different.
For my facilitator, when I went to a ride class, she was like, no one asked you in college application, when did you walk?
Thank you.
Like, don't worry about it.
When did you start sleeping through the night?
Yeah. Like, no one in a job interview, so when were you walking? You know what I mean?
Tell
like,
me when you were potty trained. Yeah.
So at what point did you say your first word? Like, that's not a thing. Like... We're all different.
Yeah.
I do believe that the first year is the hardest.
It is.
So you're in the first year.
It is. Of your first one. Yeah. That's the thing. The second one, you're easy peasy.
Yeah. I think it's like the first year. You're still in that the gutter. First year,
if you're in the first 12 months, you're in the gutter.
You know, you just, and you're thinking like, oh my God, my child's never going to go to sleep. They will go to sleep eventually. You know, just, I think, if you are that person right now, do what works for you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us say, what works for my child, right? I think like we're
this
like...
This works for my child. I don't know if it'll work for your child, but this works for my child.
And also like think about what you as a mom, what makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Because your child might be sleeping, but you're like miserable. And then what's the point of that?
Yeah. There's no point to that. No point that makes it worse.
Yeah, and then you feel guilty.
Oh, mom guilt. Come on. Mommy guilt is like so unfair. It's like you have this baby. It's amazing. And then all of a sudden you start feeling guilty about almost everything. It's like.
I remember my mom told me that I think the greatest piece of advice my mom gave me, she said, you have to learn to breastfeed laying down. And I think at least with me, it has worked wonders. Because I go to sleep, the baby goes to sleep, we're laying down. If, you know, we fall asleep. If they're hungry,
I never learned how to do that.
And to me, that was great because at the end of the day, my husband slept, I slept, the baby slept, and that was great. And, you know, like, didn't work. My sister did it differently. My best friend did the two minute method.
Yeah.
And like her babies were, you know, and she didn't really mind her babies crying. And I always admired that. And I was like, I just can't. I just couldn't do that. So there's different things for different people all the time. Everywhere.
For anything. For anything.
Awesome. Well, let's take a break and come back with our Super Mama tips and tricks. Tips and tricks? Tips and picks? Picks and ticks and tricks. Picks, tips, and tricks. Maybe that should be the name.
All of it. All of it. Together.
All of it. We'll be right back. And we're back. Kim Lund?
Well, I was thinking about this for a little while about, you know, something that I would want for all moms.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it was just like this magic, like, trick that you could just do. But what I would recommend for all new moms out there and second and third time moms as well is, you know, finding your mommy village, finding a group of mommy friends, because sometimes motherhood can be isolating at home. You feel like, you know, you're up in the middle of the night and it's just you and you feel really alone. And so, actually in Paulina's group, they had a Facebook group going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember I wasn't a part of this group, but, you know, someone would post up in the middle of the night, like 2:47 in the morning, like about I'm up with a blowout or I can't get baby back to sleep or, you know, they'd post something. And then right away, people would like that post and then someone would comment. And I'm like, oh, I'm not alone in this. Like there's
like
five other
Facebook
people.
Group too.
You know, it's a private group. Yeah,
yeah. Super Mama's private Facebook page.
And I find that, you know, sometimes, you know, the emails I send for Mommy and Me groups, like I'll send a thread to everyone for the next week. And someone will reply to that thread.
In the middle of the night.
And then like I'll wake up to a thread that's like 14 deep. because they've all been responding to each other in the middle of the night. And I feel like having this mommy village lets you know that, you know, you're not alone. You don't have to feel isolated. And you may get an answer that works, but at the very least, you get acknowledged. And I think that's really important, having that bond with other moms. It's really like my secret goal for all of my groups.
I love that.
Is that, you know, I want to teach you guys things. I want to give you information. But at the end of it, my secret goal is that you all stay together and that your kids, like, one day are at each other's birthday parties and it's like, we were in Mommy Me together.
Yeah.
Like, this is our 10th birthday and now we're – I mean, I've been doing this for 7 years now, so I'm not quite to that. But I've had kids who are like, you know.
Krista and Krista and Penelope are going to the same school.
That just makes my heart so happy.
And they, you know, they play together and it's just so crazy because the other day I came across a picture where they were like all 4 months old.
Oh my gosh.
And now they're like in school together, which is crazy. And just to see their personalities, how they're so different.
Yes.
It's insane.
But so the same, so when they were little? The same?
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Someone once told me, look at your child right now when he was like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be your child when he's like 20 years old.
It's crazy.
Like, their personality will not change. Like, you will look at them and you'll be like, that's you.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Paulina?
So, I have a pick this week. And we just came back from our family trip, vacation, baby moon, everything. We went to Cabo. So, before I went, I went looking for the best sunscreens for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I took kids sunscreens, adult sunscreens. And for me, I found one that works wonders. And I forgot it today because I was going to show it to my sister, but she's going to love it. It's actually like a mist for the face.
Is it Super Goop?
Oh, yeah, you have it?
I have it. I gave it to you for your birthday.
No, but this one
it was
is
a little
new
spritz.
One. This one's a new one. It has 50.
SPF 50.
SPF 50?
It's a spritz.
But the one you gave me was white and this one is yellow.
Oh.
So, and it's, yeah, and it's because you can put it over your makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you're like running around, because sometimes we forget about ourselves and I'm like, oh, I don't want to put like the white stuff all over my face. We just spray it and it works wonders. Like it was.
I always keep a mini in my purse. You can buy them at Sephora, the checkout counter.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
That's a good tip. Yeah. That's a good tip.
That is, and now that summer's here and, you know, we're all like running around behind our kids
and
it's
so hot.
It was amazing for the face because we all have to protect our face.
Pixie by Petra has one too, has SPF 30.
That one, I have those. Mm-hmm. I have that
one.
That's
a good one.
Yeah.
I have both of them. I had my Ziploc bag. Oh, another
giant,
tip.
Giant bag.
Another tip is put all of your sunscreens
bag
in a
lady.
Ziploc
yes.
bag.
Just in case.
In a Ziploc bag inside your purse because they get really messy, you know, and then the bag gets messy, but the rest of your stuff don't. That was my other tip.
That's a good tip.
I kept that during our vacation in a Ziploc bag.
That's a great summer tip.
And it was great. It was just, I just kept it all like in one space and all organized and, oh, here's the sunscreens. Everybody. And it was great. We were good too.
Awesome. I love that tip. Well, I'm going to go back to like my sleeping kind of, a couple tips for moms, sort of like the moms that kind of can follow my approach, who can identify with me a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Or no heart team.
No heart.
Team no heart.
No feelings.
Team no feelings. So what I know, this is nothing to do with no feelings. one thing that worked for my husband and I when the baby, in the first 3 months when he was in their bed, in a room, and, you know, waking up every 2-3 hours, I actually had, well, I would pump before going to sleep.
Right.
And I would keep, bottles with breast milk in my room in little coolers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have the bottle warmer in my bedroom. So we didn't have to like get out of the room.
I see where this is going.
So the baby would wake up and I would sleep and then we would trade off. My husband would wake up, heat up the bottle, pick up the baby, give it to him and go to sleep. Baby wake up again. I found it easier to give the baby a bottle at night than my breast.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would know exactly how much he would eat.
Right.
And he'd eat, it would come out with ease, and then he'd be able to burp, and I'd put him down. And then I would breastfeed during the day. And that helped me. I know there's also a lot of moms that talk about exclusively breastfeeding and some kids not taking bottles, and there's a whole debate about not introducing bottles to the baby so young because then they won't take your breast. I was blessed enough that my son took the bottle right away and didn't have any nipple confusion. He was able to both breastfeed and bottle feed. But night bottle feeding changed my life. I was able to sleep. He would go down way easier than if we ever slept in my breast. When I would try to breastfeed at night, I would be awake like for 2 hours, 3 hours. I wouldn't know if he would eat. I didn't know if he had enough. I didn't know if he had 2 ounces, 1 ounce. I would drive myself crazy. So that's one tip that I had for moms who are dealing with newborns, was what I did. And then now that my baby, it's 2 years old, we actually transitioned him to a toddler bed when he was 20 months.
Just before 2 years old.
Yeah, just before 2 years old. And I was really hesitant about that because I was like, is he going to get up in the middle of the night now and come to my bed? Is it going to be harder? Like I was very nervous, but it was sort of like a mom intuition where I was like, I think he's ready for his toddler bed. And he never climbed out of the crib. I know a lot of people say, wait until when he climbs, that's when he's ready. I felt like I didn't want him to get to that point because I was like, if he gets to the point, then he's going to get out of his bed easier. Like that makes no sense. So it was so crazy that when I transitioned him to a toddler bed at that age, he didn't get out of the bed. Like, to this day, my baby wakes up in the morning, like around 6:30, 7:30. He doesn't come to her bedroom. He stays there and he just screams out for me or my husband. Well,
he calls for you.
He doesn't call for me. What am I kidding? He calls for me. I ain't trying to lie in the podcast.
He's like, we wouldn't have known.
He's like,
we wouldn't have known.
Daddy. Daddy.
And then you're like, babe, that's you.
I mean, we already know, you know? And he's like, and I'm like, and I try going in there. He's not about me. He just wants his dad. And he goes, I ready, daddy. Papa, daddy. Beep, beep, daddy. So it worked. I don't know if that will work for any mom that's, you know, has a kid around that age. But for me, transitioning him into a toddler baby before he climbed out of the crib worked wonders for me.
I think it's worth a shot. I think, you know, what you guys do that's so great is like give people a lot of information. And then you can be like, you know what? That really speaks to me. And I think that's something that would work in my family. Or, this lying down and breastfeeding situation, that really speaks to me. I think that. And so, but knowing that there's so many, there's a way for your family.
Right.
And I think that's important.
Yeah. And then what you said about like having hiccups throughout like the journey, you know, we have a lot of hiccups. Like there was like a week where the baby came to bed every single day. And another tip that I would tell moms, moms who are in relationships, that's like be in the same page with your partner. That's the only way any sort of routine is going to work.
Yeah.
You know, my husband and I are both in the same sort of, he's a little bit more military about this stuff, like kid cannot sleep with us, kid cannot sleep with us, kid. I'm a little more lenient, so he's a little more the enforcer with that. He's so when it kind of, you know, when he's sick or something, like I'll let him sleep with me, or you know, and then by my husband's always like, well, you only get two nights because we all know that three nights makes a habit. So
he's worried about that slippery slope. Yeah.
So he's like, third night, no. And I'm like, well, then you do it then. Like, I'm, if it's a, then I'm like, I'm then, you know, and he's like, all right. So he's sort of like the enforcer in that sense. So, again, there are times when he comes, but when it kind of gets to the third night, we're like, we got to cut it, you know?
My husband's and it the only enforcer. Bring in the babies.
And it's, and it's, the enforcer the other way.
And to me, honestly, like the third night rule, like I've seen it manifest it itself. Like it's just, it takes three nights to get back into the routine or break in a routine. So,
you know, one more thing, one more tip that has worked really good with me, because with Sabina, Krista, she's like an adult. But Sabina is, you know, her temperament is completely different. So we recently found the essential oils in our lives.
Yeah, we're oilers.
We're oilers. Mm. But honestly, the lavender and serenity at night, and I add some drops of breathing, because that opens up their, I think you wake up more easily when you can breathe. So mixing those oils and putting them on a diffuser at night has made such a huge difference.
Their roll-ons she made for us, too. Works so good for the baby.
I put oils on them before, like when I'm putting their pajamas. It's part of my routine now to put oils on them, and then they start shutting down like little by little, peacefully, and that has really made a huge difference. So if you guys are having like problems trying to, like when everything has been cool and then all of a sudden it's not, try oils. It has made a huge difference for us.
That's our show. Thank you, Kimlan.
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome, you guys.
Thank you. It was so, so great to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
It's almost amazing. It's always so great and so refreshing just sitting down and talking to a mom about, like, mom stuff.
Yeah,
it's like
the best.
Yeah, mom to mom.
Like, it's so cool. Like, this is, like, one of my favorite. I think that's why we love doing the podcast. Like, I just freaking love and talk to people about mom stuff.
Yeah, you could do this forever.
And it's like... And it's like
you guys probably do.
And it's like, oh, I do this, and then you do that, and we'll like try this and like try that, you know? And
yeah,
it's a good space.
Yeah, and I love also the fact that my sister and I are so different. You know?
No, yeah. I think what really makes it work.
Well, thank We're you so guys. So different.
Oh my god!
Thank you, Kimlan.
Hashtag team no feelings.
Hashtag team all feelings.
All feelings. Hashtag team heart. All the time.
Team heart. Anyway,
where can we find you, Kimlan? Where can we seek more information about sleeping?
Absolutely.
How can we join one of your mom squad groups? How can we bring you into our lives?
Well, I currently teach classes at the Family Room in San Marino, and I'm there 4 days a week teaching classes from 2 months all the way through 24 months. So if you have a baby in that age range or a toddler, I teach a class for you. And if you are not on the east side, if you're on the west side or in the valley, you can go to writemommy.com. That's writemommy.com.
And if you are out of state, if you do not live in California, what do you recommend?
You know what? I would still go to writemommy.com. And instead of going to classes, they have online classes.
Oh,
and there's also the
how
happy
do you spell
sleeper
right,
book.
Mommy?
It's a writ.
Do you want to just repeat it on the mic?
Yeah. Well, actually, if you're out of state, go to thehappysleeper.com because they're the ones who do the online classes, and they do Skype consults.
Oh, that's amazing!
As well,
what's that website again?
Thehappysleeper.com.
And we'll also link it in our show notes at supermamas.la or supermamaspodcast.com.
Awesome.
And don't forget to follow us at @_supermamas on Instagram and Twitter, Supermamas Podcast on Facebook, and supermamas.la on the web.
Follow us, like us, and share this episode with a mom who is not sleeping or who has any sleeping problems with their child. Be like, you know what? Hear this episode. This will make you feel better. Wait till your child is 10. He will fall asleep.
He will. No, not 10. You know, Krista's 5. She started sleeping at 4. No, that's not true, lady. She started sleeping way before.
It's true. Don't lie.
No, but I meant this like through the night, like in her bed. It's so funny because now I'm like, Krista, time to go to bed. And I, you know, I'm like trying to struggle with Sabina and go in the room. And Krista's like knocked out. I'm like, you didn't even wait for me. Like, now she doesn't even wait for me.
She's so good at it.
Goals.
Yes.
Eventually.
Eventually.
You got 6 years to go. All right. Super Mama.
Super